Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Hoboken Grace Podcast. We hope today's message inspires you on your walk with God and supports you in a weekly rhythm of connecting with Him. We want to help you in that, so every message from every week is available live and on demand on our app or at hobokengrace.com. Thank you for choosing to spend time with us, and we'll see you next week.
What an amazing, amazing story. And today we get to celebrate as we move through the service with even more who are coming to be able to say, no, I've met Jesus. I love how she phrased that. I met Jesus and I love him, and are coming to be able to declare that. And today's just been an amazing morning. We've been celebrating downstairs. And up here, we are launching a brand new conversation called The Principle of the Path. And it's one of those moments, and I love this about our relationship with God, where as God steps into our life, he comes to us and he invites us into a very specific relationship. It's something that Jesus makes possible that wasn't actually possible before Jesus, because before Jesus, the nation of Israel had a relationship with God as, okay, you're our God and we are your people. But then after Jesus, God invites us to relate to him primarily as our Father. He says, this is a relationship that I want to have with you. I want to be your dad. And what I love is as we move forward for the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at one of the ways that our Father steps into our life and says, listen, I want to help you as your dad to navigate this journey really well. I want to take your hand and to be able to show you, okay, how do you thrive in this journey that I've created you to be part of? And I love how as our Father, he does this over and over and over again. Let me ask you this as we get started. How many of you are good with directions? Show of hands. Okay. I know we don't do this very much anymore. Some of you are like, am I supposed to be good with directions? I have an iPhone. Does that mean I'm good with directions? I know we don't do this as much anymore. How many of you are bad at directions? Okay, how many of you are with someone who lied about being good at directions? I used to think I was great at directions. And then I moved to New Jersey. I remember when I first moved to New Jersey, and I'd lived in Michigan and Alabama before that. When I first moved to New Jersey, I was riding with a friend and we encountered traffic. And he was just sitting in traffic. And I said, what are you doing? Why are you staying on this road? You should just jump off this road and make your way around the traffic and then jump back on the road. And I remember suggesting this to him, and he looked at me with this look of confusion. He said, what do you mean? I said, well, there's traffic on this road, so you jump off this road, get on a parallel road, and you can just drive up, and then you jump back on the road. And then he said to me with truly a look of fear, he said, I don't know these roads. I said, what do you mean you don't know these roads? And he wouldn't get off the road. I was like, man, you are weak. You gotta be kidding me. We're just gonna sit here in traffic. A little while later, I was driving, I was by myself, and I encountered traffic. And I said, well, I'm not weak. I'm gonna jump off this road. I'm good at directions. I know which way I'm headed. I'll just make my way around it and jump back on. And I started to drive. And the next thing I knew, I had no idea where I was. I mean, no idea. I couldn't find the road that I got off of. I learned that in New Jersey, there's not a straight road to be found. Not one. Now, if you've only experienced Hoboken, you don't know this about the rest of the state. The only part of the entire state that has a grid is this city. That's it. After you leave this city, it's mass chaos. And not only that, I learned that in New Jersey, you can't turn around. I couldn't find my way back. It's like, how do you turn around? Well, you have to get off and you have to get on this other road and this other road. And then I couldn't figure out where in the world I was. And it was getting dark and it was getting later. And so finally I decided, and it took a long time, don't get me wrong, because I'm a man. It took a long time, but I decided I have to ask for directions. So I stopped at a gas station. I rolled down the window. Listen, I'm lost. I don't know where I am. Can you help me try to find my way? The guy looks at me. No inglés. I was like, okay, no problem. I'll go to the next gas station. Drive to the next gas station. Can you help me? I'm lost. No inglés. Okay, maybe you can understand this question. What city am I in? He understood me. Patterson. Now, I was new to New Jersey, but I had been told Patterson was not a place you wanted to be after it got dark. That's the only thing I knew about it. And I was like, how did I get here? How do I get out of here? And I did eventually find my way back. I just want to share that because as a communicator, I know some of you will be wondering that for the rest of the time. I did. I'm here. I made it. I found my way back, but I remember being so lost. It took me a long time. And I remember getting home and I was so angry. I was so angry at the roads. I was like, these roads are so messed up. Isn't it interesting whenever you get lost, it's always something or someone else's fault? You gave me bad directions. I was down in Texas last week. Apparently Google doesn't know Texas. It kept sending me the wrong exit. I was getting angry. It's clearly Google's fault. It's always someone else's fault. I'm so angry at the roads. Can't believe you'd build something like this. And if you moved to New Jersey, you understand what I'm talking about. If you're from New Jersey, you're used to this. But if you moved here, you realize there's a couple things that frustrate you about New Jersey. The roads and the DMV. Those are two that pretty much across the board are shared frustrations. But I remember being so angry with the roads. Like, these roads are messed up. But the reality is, the roads aren't messed up. There's nothing wrong with the roads. Now, they're laid out in an interesting way. There's nothing actually wrong with them. And the reality is, and this is the great thing about roads, those roads are very consistent. If you take those roads, they will always lead you to the same place. They don't change. You don't have to wonder. If I took the same roads next week, they probably still would lead me to the very same place. They're very consistent. And we understand this about roads. They always lead you to the same place. And it doesn't matter what you want. I didn't want to end up where I ended up. It doesn't matter what you hope. It doesn't matter what you believe. They always lead you to the same place. And we understand this. We understand this about physical roads. But it's amazing how we miss this about life. We understand this about physical roads. You get on that road, it's going to lead you to this. It always leads you to the same place. We understand that about physical roads. But it's amazing how often we miss this about life. And this is one of the things that I think God as our Father steps into our life and says, you need to, listen, come here. You need to pay attention to this, and you need to recognize this about life. Andy Stanley actually coined this phrase called the principle of the path. And the principle is just this. It's not your intention, but your direction that will determine your destination. Listen to me very carefully. It's not your intention, but your direction that will determine your destination. We understand this about roads. You can have the greatest, you can intend to go to the shore. You can have your car packed to go to the shore. You can have your surfboard. You have everything ready for a day at the beach. If you get on the turnpike north, you will not arrive at the shore. You can believe you will arrive at the shore. You can believe it with all of your heart. It doesn't matter. That road doesn't lead there. And one of the things throughout Scripture that you see God calling us back to over and over again is the principle of the path. In other words, understanding that in life there are paths. And you can have the greatest intention in the world, but if you're on that path, well, that path leads someplace specific. And it doesn't matter your intention. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying intentions don't matter. Our culture keeps saying that. That's not true. Intentions absolutely matter, and intentions will impact your direction, but intentions will not determine your destination. Your direction will determine your destination. And so God over and over again is calling us, hey, don't just pay attention to your intention. Don't just pay attention to, oh, I believe or what I want or what I hope. No, pay attention to your direction. So today I want to take you to one of the places where you see him calling us to this, and he's teaching us this idea of the principle of the path. It's found in the book of Proverbs. And Solomon, who's considered to be one of the wisest individuals who ever lived, is writing, and the way that he writes it, he's writing like he's writing to his son, and he's trying to impart wisdom to his son. And as he's writing to his son, he shares this story. I want to take you to it. It says this, and it's kind of framed in this idea of a wise person looking out the window and watching what's happening. It says, at the window of my house, I looked out through the lattice. I saw among the simple, I noticed among the young men, a youth who lacked judgment. This is, if you look carefully at what he's saying here, it's kind of interesting because he's not saying there was one youth who lacked judgment. He's saying, I looked out and I saw the young men who are simple and lack judgment. He's saying pretty much across the board, they lack judgment, but he's paying attention to one of them in particular. He says, he was going down the street near her corner, walking along in the direction of her house at twilight as the day was fading, as the dark of night set in. So he's looking out and he sees a group of young men, but one of them in particular is headed in this one direction. He says he's moving towards her house. It continues, then out came a woman to meet him dressed like a prostitute and with crafty intent. Now, sometimes people misread this and they think that this is a prostitute and they read the story like he's going to where prostitutes are. That's not actually true. You find out later in the story, she's not a prostitute at all, but because people read it that way, people will... Sometimes I'll share this with individuals and they'll say, well, that's not me. This doesn't apply to me at all. I'm not going to a corner where prostitutes hang out. Like, I'm not pursuing prostitutes. And yeah, I understand that. That's not necessarily most of our story. But you do know which bars to go to find individuals with a certain intent. Especially on Halloween weekend. I found it super ironic that we were walking through this passage on Halloween weekend. I did not plan that out. God plans way better than I do. And so he just makes his way that direction. It doesn't seem that he has anything... He doesn't seem like he has any intention of anything necessarily happening. He's just going to make his way that direction. I'm just going to go hang out. I'll just go see the costumes. Then out came a woman to meet him dressed like a prostitute with crafty intent. She is loud and defiant. Here, he's trying to help you understand this is about more than just this one moment. She is loud and defiant. Her feet never stay at home. Now in the street, now in the squares, at every corner she lurks. She took hold of him and kissed him, and with a brazen face she said, and this next line is really interesting, I have fellowship offerings at home. Today I fulfilled my vows. You say, what in the world is she talking about? What, basically what she's saying is, I've been to church and took care of all of that. I'm good to go. And so you see this picture that's being painted, and this young man is just, I'll just move that direction. See what happens. And she comes out, and all of a sudden things begin to develop. So I came out to meet you. I looked for you and have found you. I've covered my bed with colored linens from Egypt. I perfume my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let's drink deep of love till morning. Let's enjoy ourselves with love. Some of you have kids in here. That's why we have Grace Kids, just so you know. Come, let's drink deep of love till mornings. Let's enjoy ourselves with love. My husband is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. He took his purse filled with money and will not be home till full moon. And all of a sudden, what we knew really from the beginning of the story was going to happen, happens. And she comes out and embraces him. And she says, not only is this going to be a good night, this is going to be a great weekend. It might even be weeks. My husband's gone. This is going to be amazing. And as you view this moment, you have to think the young man is excited. It's like, man, this worked out better than I thought. And look how this is coming together. And this is going to be incredible. I imagine if you could hear the soundtrack in his head, it sounds something like, tonight's gonna be a good night. I didn't expect it to go this well. With persuasive words, she led him astray. She seduced him with her smooth talk. And so he shares with us what he's watching and how this is playing out. But it doesn't seem that the young man has an intention for this to happen. He's just moving in this direction, and look what happened. And then the perspective shifts, and you hear the perspective of the wise individual who's watching this moment. And it says this, all at once he followed her like an ox going to the slaughter, like a deer stepping into a noose till an arrow pierces his liver, like a bird darting into a snare, little knowing it will cost him his life. Now then, my sons, listen to me, pay attention to what I say. And this is, listen very carefully to this. Do not let your heart turn to her ways or stray into her paths. He begins to use this terminology. Many are the victims she has brought down. Her slain are a mighty throng. Her house is a highway. He begins to talk about this idea of paths, highways. And you see, and this is really significant. This is one of those moments where God's calling us to. Wait. You have to think about this differently. The young man thought about this as a moment. And the simple see life as a series of moments. It's just a moment. It's just a moment. But the wise individual doesn't see life as a series of moments. The wise individual sees life as a series of paths. And those paths have destinations. Not unknown destinations. Known destinations. If you get on that path, well, it leads somewhere. And you can count on it. We understand this about roads. We just struggle to understand it about life. And yet God steps in and says, you need to be very, very careful because life is not just a series of moments. It's a series of paths. The young man thinks, no, I can just jump off this road for a little bit and I'll just move in this direction. It's fine. I'll jump back on. Oh, but life is like New Jersey. It doesn't work that way. That's a path. And paths have destinations. And it doesn't matter what your intent is. It doesn't matter what you hope for or what you want or even what you believe. And so you want to have a great relationship with your wife, and you want to have a great relationship with your family, and you work 90 hours a week. That's a path. Just know that what you want isn't a destination on that path. That path doesn't lead there. And this shows up in life over and over and over again. I love the examples that Stanley gives in his book. He says, a single woman says, I want to meet and one day marry a great Christian guy who's really got his act together. But then she dates whoever asks her out as long as he's cute. A single guy says, I want to have great sex once I'm married, but he practices with every girl he dates along the way. A married woman says, I want to have a great relationship with my husband, but she makes the children a priority over him. A husband says, I want my kids to respect me as they grow up, and then he openly flirts with other women in the neighborhood. A young Christian says, I want to develop a deep and lasting intimacy with God, so he gets up every morning early and reads his iPhone. He actually wrote the newspaper, but that's irrelevant. I had to change it. A man says, I want to grow old and invest in the latter years of my life and my grandchildren, but then he neglects his health. A couple says, we'd like our children to develop a personal relationship with God and choose friends who have done the same, but then they skip church every weekend and head to the lake. Newlyweds determine to be financially secure by the time they reach their parents' age. Then they adopt a lifestyle sustained by debt and leveraged assets. A high school freshman intends to graduate with a GPA that will afford him options as he selects a college, but he neglects his studies. It's really easy to move through life believing that our intention will determine our destination. And it's really easy in church, because we talk about faith, to think that our intention will determine our destination. Well, I just need to believe it. No. Your intention doesn't determine your destination. Your direction does. What path are you on? I encounter people all the time, and they'll say to me, I don't know how I got here. And that's what happens. If you live life like my intention will determine my destination, and you don't pay attention to your direction, one day you will end up somewhere you never intended to be. And you will say to yourself, I don't know how I got here. And they'll sit in my office and say, I don't know how I got here. I don't know how this happened. And I'll begin to ask them questions about their decision. And I'll say to them, I know exactly how you got here. I'm really surprised you thought you were going to end up somewhere else. I try to say it kinder than that. But remember how we always get angry at someone else when we get lost or something else? It's amazing to me how many people end up where they never intended to be because of the path that they chose. And you know who they get angry at? God. They get angry at God and say, how could this have happened? You did this to me. And the whole time their heavenly Father was saying, don't go down that path. I'm telling you, don't go down that path. I know where it leads. Don't go down that path. Let me ask you something. What paths are you on? Over the next few weeks, we're going to do a couple different things with this. Number one, and this is what I really want to challenge you with this week, is to ask yourself, what paths am I on? For the last several weeks, we've been dreaming with God. We've been looking at, okay, how can God work through me? What does God want to do through me in terms of my community, in terms of my family, in terms of my relationship? We've been dreaming with God. And a lot of you have developed really great intentions. But if you don't change your direction, you're not going to end up there. What paths are you actually on as it pertains to how you're pursuing Him? Your career, your health, your relationships, what paths are you on? And we're going to examine, okay, where am I? Where am I actually headed? Not where do I want to be? Where am I actually headed? And then we're going to set a new course. Because don't miss this. I know we're talking about this in terms of the negative. And this passage talks about it in terms of the negative. But this principle is phenomenally wonderful as it pertains to the positive. Jesus says, I've come so that they could have life, not just eternal life. I've come so that they could have life abundant. And one of the things that God wants to do is not just say, hey, listen, don't go down that path. That's not the only thing our Father does. He also steps in and says, you need to go down this path. There's life at the end of this path. And the great thing about the principle is if you go down that path, you can know where you're going to end up. And there are certain paths that you can go down and you can know it's going to deepen your relationship with Jesus. If you make a decision that you're going to consistently spend time with Him and you're going to prioritize Him inside of your day, that path leads somewhere. Not you hope it leads somewhere. It always leads somewhere. That's incredibly encouraging. And so we're going to look at what are the paths that we need to be intentional about because we're serious about our destination. It's amazing how our Father loves us in this way. And He says, if you let me, I want to take your hand. I want to lead you to life. But you have to change the way that you think about this. You have to examine what are the paths that I'm on. And when those temptations come to say, no, I'll just jump off in this moment and jump right back on, to realize, no. That's not a moment, that's a path. Because He wants you to experience the life that's truly life. But you have to trust Him. You have to trust Him. And I know some of you are here and you're just exploring this whole Jesus thing. I want you to know this isn't available to good people or people who have it all together. This is available to you. It doesn't matter who you are, where you've been, or what you've done. He wants to adopt you in His family and He wants to be your dad in this way. You don't have to navigate the journey alone anymore. You don't have to. But you have to trust Him. It's not a moment, it's a path. And trust Him when He says, don't go down that path. And trust Him when He says, this path leads to life. So I want to invite you to commit for the next 5 weeks to be here, for us to be able to work through this. Also, you need to be in a group. You need to be in community. You can't do this alone. There's no way you can do this alone. You don't get unlost alone. And the reality is, and you know this if you've been on destructive paths in the past, it's way easier to see it in someone else's life than in your own. And there's all sorts of paths that you're on that are leading to destruction, and you think you're fine. You're the young man just walking to the corner. I'm fine. And everyone around you is like, whoa, that relationship you're in is no good. Almost every one of us have experienced this. You're dating someone and all of your friends are like, That's a bad path. That's a bad path. And you would give anything to go back and change your direction early in that relationship, wouldn't you? But you couldn't see it. They saw it. Community's so critical in this. For us to be able to help each other to experience and find life. Will you pray with me? Father, as we introduce this principle, I pray that one, it would challenge us to be able to examine, okay, where am I at? But I also pray that it would encourage us, that you're teaching us this, not just to keep us from something, but because of the fact that, as we've been talking about, that you have something for us, that you want to us for us to experience something, that you want for us to know life, you want for us to experience those good destinations that you have in store for us. And so, Father, I pray that we would trust you in this. I want to invite you right now where you are just to have that conversation with him. I'm just going to give you a moment. I'm going to say, Father, we pray. You can just right there, just silently between you and him. Maybe for some of you, for the first time, you need to ask him to adopt you. For others of you, maybe there's a path you're on. You know it. You have to get off that path. And for you to go to him and say, no, I've been believing the lie. It's a moment. And I need you to help me. I need you to rescue me from that path. Or maybe for others of you, you need to ask him, God, I need for you to reveal in me. Is there a path that I'm on that's leading to destruction? Or maybe for you to reveal in me, to encourage me in it. But no, this path you're on leads to life. Stay the course. I want to invite you to have that conversation with him. And so, Father, we pray. Dad, we thank you for how you love us. In Jesus' name, amen.